So that led to the phone call today. This is a very far-reaching case. Even though they'll tell you it's very limited in scope, I can list a number of bills last session sponsored by either party where they were trying to limit tuition and various other things on the campuses and costs. We changed numbers of buildings that they were going to build. We changed locations of what was going to be built. This, in my opinion, this is far-reaching. Yesterday, when the Board of Higher Ed met, the President of the Board of Higher Ed introduced himself to the crowd as the head of the fourth branch of government, and then he left. This is a very serious deal. I think that we need to retain counsel. They have basically less than 2 weeks to prepare a brief on our behalf, and I think, obviously, action was required, and that's why you were called today. And Senator Hogue, if you have anything to add to my explanation, I'd be glad to hear it.
Okay, well, I guess I concur with your assessment of the brief that the State Board of Higher Education has filed with the Supreme Court. The brief acknowledges that the legislature has, through the power of the purse, controlled the amount of spending that that higher ed may spend, but beyond that, what the argument that the board makes is that they have exclusive control, meaning nobody else can interfere with their management of the institutions or the campuses. And the Constitution doesn't say they have exclusive control, it says they have full control. And that full control is subject to constitutional and statutory limitations. Ordinarily, when anybody in this state says that a law of the legislature is unconstitutional, by law they must give the Attorney General notice. And the purpose of that notice is so that the Attorney General can step forward and defend the law from constitutional attacks. Well, in this case, it's the Attorney General representing the State Board of Higher Education that is asserting that our law is unconstitutional. And I've got some general information that, the Secretary of State, when asked whether he would defend the law, he said what you might have expected. He doesn't care about the constitutionality of the law. He, as the chief election officer, just wants to know whether or not to put this thing on the ballot. And so he doesn't have a strong interest in defending.
Try and keep your desks as quiet as you can.
The Secretary of State doesn't have either a statutory or constitutional interest in defending the authority of the legislature. And so that's why we have, that's one of the reasons why I think we have the authority under Title 54 as the legislative branch of government to retain counsel and assert our authority when we don't think that the Attorney General or anyone else is going to protect our authority to legislate on behalf of the people.
Mr. Bjornson, any comments from your perspective on the information that we've asked you to gather?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I don't have anything that, other than what Senator Holder has indicated under Section 5435.17, which was enacted in 1995, the legislative branch does have authority to retain its own counsel to protect itself in cases such as this.
And I do believe it requires a majority vote of the management in order for that to happen, and that's why the call came out to you today. I'd open this up for discussion. If you'd announce who you are and your comments, that'd be good for the record.
Holmberg question.
Holmberg.
Okay, the question is, what is the process now if we pass this motion for the selection of the attorney to represent us? And does this motion rule in or rule out any current members of the Legislative Assembly?
Well, it was, did not want to use anybody from the Legislative Assembly. I can tell you there's no rule that says that. We have contacted a private individual who is interested in working for us. In fact, When we were trying to recommend names to the Secretary of State, we had three or four different names, several of which we submitted to the Attorney General. Those names, all but one of them, he rejected for various reasons, saying he uses them as assistant attorney generals or whatever. So we tried to work through this. He had a man picked out that he wanted. To me, that caused some real problems when the guy that's the litigant is telling us that he gets to pick both sides. So we have interviewed some people, Senator Holmberg, and we believe that we have someone, a Bismarck attorney, who'd be more than willing to do this on very short notice with a two-week window to get his brief together.
Mr. Chairman, it wasn't a criticism, because I go back to, as John knows, because I visited with him the other day, Hampstead versus Freed, where the President Pro Tem and the Senate Majority Leader were the attorneys arguing the case of the Senate back in 1977.
I don't want to argue anything.
And the irony was, the court ruled in favor of the legislature, and then the legislature passed a constitutional amendment, which the voters approved, which overturned what the court had done. So there's some irony in history.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Kelch,
I'm
just wondering what you know, the 1938 constitutional amendment that was passed by the people that kind of gives this power to the board. We don't have any history on that. I would certainly like to know, have some kind of background information on, you know, the situation at the time, what it meant, and what everybody felt it meant at that time. Are we just blowing smoke in it? It really bothers me that we have the Attorney General, who sat on his hands during the session, declared this unconstitutional, that we were even doing this, and wouldn't say anything. I mean, we've gone through this about, this is the third time. I think there is some real abrogation of, you know, of his job. He's not doing his job, or didn't do his job. And that really, really concerns me, that this thing has gotten to this point where we have to start suing other agencies in the state, and we really don't have the information on what was really meant by the constitutional amendment. At least I don't. Maybe somebody does.
Well, a little quick history. John can give you a quick history. It goes all the way back to Bill Langer in 1938. And now he had a little board of administrators, and they fired seven professors at NDSU of the faculty. And the people were pretty up in arms over that. And so they established this method to keep the governor from interfering with the college affairs. So it didn't even have anything to do with the legislature. It was initiated because of a governor's dabbling in the process back in 1938. But we have a whole section, Title 15, of laws passed that regulate higher education. This is a big deal. I mean, this has nothing to do with the Sioux, because the legislature dealt with that. We passed it, we repealed it, the people brought it back. This is about not letting the people vote, number one. And number two, it is, what is the role of the legislature in addressing higher education issues? So if we sit on the sidelines, I think it is a huge mistake.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Kelch again, just say the people passed this. I don't know if they will or won't. I mean, nobody knows that. Is that constitutionality problem still going to be there? Or is this going to then amend the 1938 thing?
Well, the attorneys can answer that, but this, if they rule that our bill is constitutional, it's the end of the story. It goes to the ballot. And Senator Holger or any other attorneys in the staff can correct me if that's wrong.
Well, if the voters approve the referral, this is Senator Hogue, then the UND nickname stays in place, but the Supreme Court may or may not deal with the constitutionality of that measure, because there's a possibility that the Supreme Court doesn't like to issue what they call advisory opinions, which means the case, there is no case yet. It would be like if if the majority leaders and the minority leaders walked down to the Supreme Court and said, well, we got this bill we're thinking about passing, will you tell us if it's constitutional or not? And the Supreme Court would say no, and not until it's a law will we give you a opinion. And that's the position that we have right now. Until the voters vote on it, we don't know whether we have a law to construe or not. And so that's a procedural, but it's a problem also for the Board of Higher Education.
Mr. Chairman.
Chuck, yeah, who is this?
Chuck Damson.
Yes, Mr. Damson.
My contention is, too, that the issue should be voted on first. And if it's passed and someone wants to challenge the constitutionality of it, then that would be the time to do that. But not to do it to deny the people a vote.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, too, but you can't deny the fact that if it were to be proven that we have no say in this and that law is unconstitutional and we sat on the sidelines, there's a whole different world before us when it comes to anything we ever address in higher education. So we have a vested interest here either way, and the citizens are not being able to vote if this, and again, the Supreme Court might do just exactly what Senator Hoag said. So I think it's important that we move forward, get counsel. We have a guy that's willing to take this on and do it. The tribes have joined into the lawsuit as well. They have a brief before them because of their measure. This is, I think, something where we should not sit on the sidelines. I agree with Representative Kelsch on one issue, and that's the fact that we knew since April that someone felt it was unconstitutional. They probably should have done that, challenged it a long time ago instead of waiting till now.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Kelsch again. Are we going to then pay for this attorney, or is the money coming from somewhere else? Or if we pay for it, where does the money come from?
Okay, we are going to pay for it. Mr. Bjornson or Mr. Knudsen can explain to you what the source would be.
Mr. Chairman, this is Alan Knudsen. Within the Legislative Council budget...
Can Alan be closer to the microphone?
Mr. Chairman, this is Alan Knudsen. Within the Legislative Council budget, we include funding for professional services. That's for generally hiring consultants for interim committees. We've included $300,000 for this biennium, and we've committed $50,000 of that so far. That relates to the Human Services Committee's study of guardianship services. So there is $250,000 that has not been committed of that would be available for whatever costs would be incurred here.
Mr. Chairman, Robinson here in Valley City. Do we have any idea what the charges will be given the short turnaround time? We're asking this attorney to prepare the briefs for this issue.
No, we do not. We do not have an exact number. The advantage, obviously, is it is a very short period of time. There'll be a limited amount of time invested in this because they only have less than 2 weeks to deal with it. By the way, we do have, by the Century Code, it permits legislative management by a majority vote to appoint legal counsel in any action or proceeding. Such an appointment may only be when determined necessary advisable to protect the official interests of the legislative branch, which, if you read the brief, I believe is very clear that we should be engaged.
Mr. Chairman, Holmberg?
Yes, Senator Holmberg.
Okay. This is going to sound weird, but I'm going to state that I feel what the legislature did in 1263 in April was wrong, in my opinion, because it was an unconstitutional encroachment by the legislature on the prerogatives of the Constitution, which was passed by the people in the 1930s, and gave to the Board of Higher Education, whether we or individuals like it or not. That's how I voted in April. That's what I believe today. And I do hope the Supreme Court rules that 1263, in essence, was unconstitutional. However, as you said, Mr. Chairman, I'm not here talking about the Sioux nickname as such, and the myriad stated and unstated agendas floating around from the sincere to the sinister. It's simply whether or not the legislature should be at the table through legal counsel and the issue was discussed at the Supreme Court. It's well established that playing field should be level. In the criminal justice system, we make sure everyone accused has legal counsel. This is not a criminal issue, obviously, although some would like to make it as such. The question of legal representation is one that I think we need to support. I personally hope we lose, but I feel we need to be at the table. Not to do so would allow some to argue that we lost because we were not able to make our case, and I don't want that excuse to have wings, so I'm going to support a motion to approve counsel.
Okay. Is that a motion, Senator Holmberg?
Yes, that was a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Who's that? Representative Drumdahl, let's have any further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Meyer.
Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, just for the motion that's before us, we're asked to approve an attorney who we have not named.
I can give you the name if you want the name.
That would be good, and then an amount. We just know something less than $250,000. We're being asked to approve an amount that isn't determined.
It's really difficult on the amount thing. I understand you're... would you give us the name, John, of the attorney we've contacted?
Representative Carlson, members of the committee, the attorney that's been contacted is Patrick Dirk from Bismarck. He's the senior partner in Pearson Dirk Law Firm.
I'd be a little concerned about putting a number on there, but what happens? Do we have to come back and approve more if it costs more or less than $5,000, $10,000, $15,000? I don't know how to handle that.
Mr. Chairman,
didn't include a number, Senator Taylor.
And Mr. Chairman, I wouldn't because there are, I mean, as you mentioned, there are only so many billable hours between now and when the case comes out.
Yeah, that's my opinion, but I'm very concerned about how the legislature defends itself and that it does defend itself here because this has very, very far-reaching arms, and I've stated that enough, but I can't tell you, that's our job to defend the legislative process. The three co-equal branches of government exist for a reason. Even if they're laughing when they introduce themselves as the fourth branch of government, that's a very serious issue and it shouldn't be discussed that way.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hogue, I don't know if Senator Holmberg would consider this a friendly amendment, but I would offer to amend his motion to permit you as the chairman to appoint two senators and two representatives on a bipartisan basis to provide assistance if necessary and to provide that oversight in the next, whatever it is, 2 to 3 weeks.
I mean, that could be friendly when it's bipartisan and I also agree that the chairman himself should be the one. A committee doesn't appoint a lawyer. That has to be done by an individual. So I would agree that that's friendly.
Okay. Any other discussion on that?
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Meyer.
Having involved would be great. And I have no trouble with it. I think everybody that would agree that all have something at stake here.
Mr. Chairman, this is Representative Meyer. Could I ask you a question?
I just kind of wanted to make sure I was fully aware of what the amendment did to appoint two Republicans and two Democrats plus yourself. Be an oversight over the attorney that we hire? Is that what you
would? Oh, I think it was just two from each side, and I'm not the extra one.
Oh, just two from each side. Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, could I ask you a question? This is Representative Meyer.
Absolutely, Representative Meyer.
I was wondering if we could have a fiscal analysis done of what this bill has cost us so far in the past, including the trip to Indianapolis and the bill being introduced into the session, and also up to this point, a fiscal analysis being done on the projected cost of what this is going to cost taxpayers into the future.
Including all the fees for changing the name that UND has to cover?
A complete analysis, I think, fiscally, especially the provision.
Because that's the one number nobody talks about. That's by far the largest one. Do you want us to do that on the bill that we also did for the ladybugs?
No, I don't think that's relevant. But I do think it is. The cost of this is going to be very relevant in the future. We're looking at three different...
We can track those costs when this is completed. We could have an analysis of what it costs for the total effort.
Yes.
I'd be in favor. I have no trouble with that.
Thank you.
Until it's over, it's kind of hard to, but then we can definitely do that.
But we can do a projected fiscal analysis going forward.
Well, it's really hard on the attorney side to know until that process goes through, so.
Mr. Chairman, this is Ryan Taylor. It's a small...
Yes, Ryan.
Now that you've named the attorney, what is the billable hour going to be as a charge for Mr. Dirk's services?
I do not have that answer for you. Maybe Mr. Bjornson has discussed that with him. I do not have that.
Representative Carlson, Mr. Chairman, Senator Taylor, it's not something that we've discussed. It's something we assume we'll be able to negotiate with him, but generally the going rate is somewhere in the area of $200 an hour for an attorney, except for legislative council attorneys.
Boy, that was pretty slick getting that in there. And by the way, our legislative council attorneys who have been involved in the drafting of this bill and the issues are also going to provide any information that's requested by Mr. Gurick to help maintain a handle on some of these costs for us. Any other discussion on the issue?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, who is this?
Representative Olmsted.
Yes, Representative Olmsted.
Could we still follow up with a historical memo from 1938?
Absolutely. I learned more today than I've known ever before from Mr. Bjornson. That I'm sure that's available somewhere. We'll get that to each council member.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Kelch, you know, you talked about what do you call the lawsuit, and I have not seen, you know, what
the most important thing to read is the brief, and we can make that available to every member. Not everybody likes to sit and read legal briefs, but
it is very broad.
It should be. We can make it available for you.
Okay, appreciate that. But Mr. Chairman, again, I totally agree that we need to take a look at that 1938 constitutional amendment, and there's got to be a written history of what it meant back then. And I'm assuming this is going to be approved, so it may be too late to use it, but we may be able to use it down the road on some different things.
Well, I think we have to take a hard look at everything we've done. If this comes out saying we have no authority other than to write a check as to the 100 laws that we've given our authority over to the board over the years. So this is a big deal. We'll get you that information. Did you catch that, Alan and John?
Yes.
All right, what they're looking for there. We'll make sure that's available to each member. Is there any other discussion on the motion?
Chairman, this is Representative Ruby.
Yes, Representative Ruby.
Yeah, I just have a comment about, the overall concept of us and our authority. I think this is something we definitely need to do because you talked about the possibility that we only have the constitutional authority over the checkbook, but who's to say that this wouldn't lead to some litigation over our level of funding or our providing of facilities and other areas dealing with the university system. So, whether the history of the initial constitutional measure that was put in back in the 30s and any attorney general opinions that have followed in those in that area is going to be interesting to see, but definitely if it hasn't been clearly defined, this is the time to do it and get this out of the way. And whether whether this was on an issue that deals with the Fighting Sioux, and this is what had to bring up this fight or discussion or division of powers. I don't know that it really matters what issue brought it up or where people stand on that issue. The cost of that, I think the people pretty much, I think the initial vote of the legislature was based on what their view of the majority of their constituents wanted them to vote. And if the legislature hadn't, I think an initiated measure would have been at hand anyway. You know, we can look at cost, but I think what the people want and what the people were going to fight for wouldn't have changed whether we did what we did or not.
I think, Mr. Chairman, Holmberg, when John puts together, or whomever does it, they can look back also, and this was before most of your time, but back in the 60s, Bob McCarney referred to the appropriation to the University of North Dakota's budget, and the Supreme Court of North Dakota ruled that you could not refer the budget because the Constitution says we had the obligation to fund them. So, I mean, there are some cases that deal specifically with the legislative responsibilities under the Constitution. That'd be interesting to put together.
Yeah, and also it's going to be interesting to see how broad or narrow the Supreme Court looks at this issue, and we have no idea where that'll be. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, President Kell.
Well, I was just wondering, you had discussed a figure that we might have to come back, but did anything get put in a motion to we could spend so much without having to come back to another meeting, or?
The point is, it'll have already been spent at that point in time. I would prefer not putting a number in there I think it's very hard for us to do that. Yeah, it's only so many billable hours between now and the 6th of March.
But Mr. Chairman, I can add up pretty fast. There's 8 or 10 hours a day at $200 or $300 an hour. I think
we're not at all afraid to spend $50,000 on a higher ed expert to come in and tell us that we're doing a great job already, $50,000, so I don't think we're going to get those kind of numbers involved in this. I would prefer we left the number out of it.
Mr. Chairman, this is John Bjornson again. The numbers that I threw out were just, you know, per hour rates. There's a possibility of negotiating a flat rate. That's something that we haven't explored yet. We weren't to that point where we could get into specifics with an attorney.
Yeah, I personally don't think it's going to be a great big number, but we need to be at the table.
Mr. Chairman, clarification.
Yes, Representative
Austin. Currently, we're not listed in the brief, the way I understand it, anywhere. And so, how does this work? Which side do you participate on, or do you wait until the actual...
I'll let Mr. Bjornson how that works, how we get involved in this. John?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Onstead, you're correct. The Legislative Assembly is not a party to the suit, but has the ability to request the court to intervene in the case. And as I understand, the court has already allowed another group to intervene in the case. So this would be, this is an issue that's important to the legislative branch. So I have a hard time seeing the court not allowing this legislative branch to become part of the case to defend its authority.
Any other questions, comments? Not, we'll take a roll call vote. Motion is to approve the hiring of an attorney in this case and to have two members from each party be involved as consultants, basically to assist if there's questions from that attorney regarding the legislative role. I think I stated that fairly correctly. Any other comments? Let's take a roll call vote.
Right. Representatives Carlson?
Yes.
Damshin?
Yes.
Drubdahl?
Yes.
Kelsch?
Yes.
Meyer?
No.
Onstead?
No.
Ruby?
Yes.
Vigasaw?
Yes.
Wise?
Yes.
Senators Urbley?
Yes.
Heckerman?
No.
Hogue?
Yes.
Holmberg?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Robinson?
No.
Taylor?
Taylor? No.
Wardner?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, the motion carried.
What we will do is you will all get a notification from John when he gets a quote from the attorney, or if they have he settles on a lump sum or an hourly, so that you understand what he believes would be a proper estimate. Any other comments? If not, we'll adjourn.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Cal.
When were you going to appoint the two people, or the four people?
Well, at this point in time, I would, unless there's volunteers, I would prefer that we have someone with a little bit of legal background. I would hope that the Senate would pick as one of them Representative Holmes. And Representative Couch, you could pick one, whichever one you want to be a caucus, same with Senator Taylor.
This is Senator Wardner. Mr. Chairman, you can't have Senator Hoag. He's not a representative.
Oh, Senator, I'm sorry. Geez, what a terrible thing to say. I'm glad the vote's over. But you, Senator Wardner, you decide what you like from your side. And Representative Taylor, if you would get back to John and Representative Kelce, and I'll do the same, and we'll those are the four people that'll go forward.
Senator Taylor, you ain't getting any better at this here.
Oh man, I tell you what, I gotta write my names down better.
But,
Senator, what do you want me to call him, Governor or Senator? What is it?
Well, time will tell.
Okay.
Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
All right. Hold on. Bye. Thank you.